So what is the church? We've been discussing this in different aspects, starting at the big picture and moving down. So today, as we discuss it, we're going to look at an aspect. We talked, George asked this earlier, and we said it in part of the prayer, the Book of Common Prayer, the Holy Catholic Church. Well, Catholic, once again, just means universal. Now, there's the Roman Catholic Church, an official denomination. Some of us may have been part of that. But Catholic, you know, we Protestants don't have to fear saying Holy Catholic Church. It just means the universal church, the body of Christ. And we started with, what is the church, the universal church, the invisible church, but the church as God sees it? This is a picture, it might be tough to see, but some great art, one of the largest icons in the world, and it's attributed to Athanasius of all people. But this is a picture of the church militant, we'll describe that in just a minute, and the church triumphant. So you have some saints up in heaven, and you have a church down below fighting against the enemy. And so the visible church and the invisible church, the visible church are those who have been baptized and who partake of the sacraments. This is a technical definition. The local church is where we meet, that may or may not have been regenerated. So people, the physical local church, there might be unbelievers sitting within the walls. The church, then another way to look at this is called the church militant and the church triumphant. The church militant sounds like a military, right? But the idea is the church here, still on earth, people in their bodies, which waging war against the world, the flesh, and the devil. This is part of our struggle as Christians. We live in this fallen world. We are ambassadors for Christ. There's spiritual warfare. We are part of the heavenly realms in the sense of part of the one true church as God sees it. But we have a role to do while we are here. The church triumphant, those are our relatives. Those are past believers throughout history who have gone on to be with the Lord. We call them appropriately the perfected saints. So there's another word that saint just means set apart. All of us, if you are a Christian, you are a saint. And so it's not just the thinking of famous saints and old dead guys and fancy gold pictures, but that is what the universal church is, some in heaven, some here, church militant. Well, we are emphasizing now more the aspect of what is our role as the visible church and the community fellowship of Christians as the local body here. What is it that we are to be about? And today I'm going to discuss or get into a couple things, the purity and the unity of the church. The purity and the unity are aspects that God knows his, all true believers, but on earth, there's denominations, a lot of divisions. We fight and we argue and we bicker. And so what are some things that should be evident in a local church, the visible church, that makes them, shall I say, more or less pure? Obviously, I would think we all want to be doing what God wants us to do, but sometimes we don't. And that's going to be part of our challenge for us today. What then is or should the purity of the church look like? And we're, while we're here, until we are perfected and glorified and go to heaven, we're going to make mistakes. Part of the challenge for all of us is to try to do it God's way as best we can. So purity touches on some things like free from wrong doctrine, believing things about God, about salvation. So God's word is very important. Some churches have jettisoned a lot of the orthodox doctrine that has been around since, well, the beginning, and especially the beginning of the church some 2,000 years ago. What about our conduct as individuals? Are you living your life according to the manufacturer's handbook, you might say? And we all can fall short of that, can't we? Are we, as a church body, to make it a little more specific for us in this little branch office, are we doing our best to live in conformity to God's revealed will for community fellowship of Christians? God has revealed himself to us. Are we doing our best from with what is revealed to us to live in conformity to his will? Or are we, well, I want to know the secret will of God. That's above your pay grade. That's above my pay grade. God has given us enough to chew on. Are we, as a local church family, and as individuals, obviously, trying to do our best for that? I think I read last week or a couple weeks ago, what is the church? And one of the metaphors that Paul uses, as Christians, we are the bride of Christ. And so the picture of a biblical marriage is based on Christ and his church. So we are all the bride of the bridegroom Christ. And so Ephesians chapter 5, verses 26 and 27, talking about ultimately the purity of the church. Well, the bridegroom is concerned about the purity of his bride. And so pick up in verse 26, that he, Christ, might sanctify and cleanse her. Sanctify, to set apart. There's a positional aspect that Christ has set his bride apart. If you are a Christian, Christ has set you apart. And that's why I think I've done some sermon where don't mess with my bride, but don't mess with Christ's bride. So positionally, we are set apart, but also that word sanctify, there's a process to grow. And in fact, he goes on to say that he might sanctify and cleanse her, the church, his bride, with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Jesus is concerned about you, his bride. That's one of the reasons, ladies, if in weddings you wore a white dress, the cleansing, the sanctification, it's all for the glory of the bridegroom. And that is what Christ does, the purity of the church. Now, we ain't going to be there till he comes to get us and takes us home where he's preparing a place for his bride. But in the meantime, what is our role? And so a couple factors. Let me just challenge all of us, because all of these, we're going to fall short. Well, endeavor to persevere. We want to do our responsibility, knowing that Christ ultimately is accomplishing this. But what does that look like in our lives? What is the challenge for us? Dr. Wayne Grudem in his big systematic theology has a handy list, if you will, of different areas of what we should be about in the church that can be more or less pure. Well, hopefully we're wanting to be on the more pure side, the purity of the church. So, a couple areas. Last week we looked at the marks of a church historically. The two main marks of a church are biblical doctrine and the word is being preached, and proper use of the sacrament. So if you were here, that's what we talked about, the marks of a church. But let's start with those. Is biblical doctrine and the right preaching of the word going on in this local church? I hope so, because if it's not, you need to go somewhere else. You need to get rid of who's ever up here. But that is central, folks. We are here to hear God's word, not man's word. The proper use of the sacraments. We've talked about that. What is the Lord's Supper? And the way we do it, I like, but we never want to just go through the motions. We do it once a month. Different local churches do it differently, and there's nothing wrong with that. But if it comes to the point where it's, oh, we got to tack communion onto the service again, that's less pure. We need to be appreciating and remembering the depth of what Christ has done. Here's one that is also included in some later on, especially during the time of the Reformation and after the Reformation. But the marks of a church, a third one is sometimes added, the right use of church discipline. That's one you don't see very often in churches, because, you know, none of us like to be challenged, and you have fallen people maybe confronting someone about sin in their life. Well, who do you think you are? You know, let judge not, lest ye be judged. We can misquote lots of verses. But church discipline, within a church family, there's a structure, and we'll be talking about this in a couple weeks maybe on church government, but part of we love each other and we are a family, we hold each other accountable, not out of you need to do it the way I say it, but because I love you too much to see you do this and you come alongside people. So right use of church discipline. did a whole series on this, and not a series, a message, but from Matthew chapter 16, where Jesus addressed that with his disciples. Genuine worship. Okay, worship is not just music, but music's important. Are we genuinely worshiping? Now notice, there's music that you may not, might not be your preference, but if it's worshipful music, are you mature enough to worship in any way? And that's because sometimes we've probably been in churches and you've heard the music wars. And, you've been there probably. Taking our eyes off of what is important. And so we all have preferences, nothing wrong, and we are unique. And I love our preferences, nothing wrong with that. But we ought to be worshiping, not criticizing. So, and that it goes along with all aspects of the service. He didn't do the smells and the bells properly. We worship because all of life is to be worship. But what we do in here is our reasonable service to God. How about effective prayer? You know, I feel convicted of this sometimes. You know, I'm the one up here. Corporate prayer is important, but I fall short in my prayer life. Maybe you do too. And, you know, spending some time, you know, sort of the corporate prayer has to be a little more generic. I mean, that's why sometimes I like some of those old dead guys like the Book of Common Prayer. They can pray a lot, a lot richer and more full than I can. But prayer, are we praying as a church family? We have direct access to the King of the universe. And he wants to talk to us. He's not looking for our advice. He's wanting to have a relationship. And then that gets into us conforming our will to his, like Jesus taught us. So I don't mind saying the Lord's Prayer every Sunday, as long as we're not just going through the motions. I mean, listen to what Jesus taught his disciples. Giles, when preached this summer, did on the Lord's Prayer. You could spend a lot of time talking about how to pray, and that's important. Effective witness. We'll get into some of these a little more in depth next week, but effective witness. Are we sharing the good news? I mean, this is a family meeting, yes, but are we witnessing? Are we going out there, the church scattered, as they say, to go out and share the good news, tell other beggars where to find bread? That's important. We are ambassadors for Christ. We are to go out. More in this next week, but this, I believe, this is more of a family meeting, and then we go out into the world to share that good news. And by the way, can we all do better? Of course we can. One of the things I appreciate about this church family that makes it easy is people like you people. I don't know why, but it's easy when visitors come because just, man, you like food. That's good. Hey, food's good. But they're so warm and friendly. I don't have to do a whole lot of defense of, you know, what kind of angry bunch of people. Then welcoming, effective witness, folks. You know, and you don't have to know the four spiritual laws, sharing your testimony, but pointing people to the person and work of Christ. Every Christian ought to be able to do that. So effective witnesses. Now, here's something we really do good. We're almost on the absolute pure side of this one. Effective fellowship. If fellowship means food. Fellowship means a lot more than food, doesn't it? But we enjoy being together, folks. And that's part of the early church. Man, look how much they love each other. And in the Roman world in particular, you know, everybody else is busy killing them. And look, these folks are willing to die for each other. Fellowship is important. And it's in our name, so we better do it, right? Community fellowship of Christians. Biblical church government. We'll talk more about this, how that looks in just the local church structure. But are we trying to, if this is modeled on a family of Christ and his church, how are we at our level interacting and doing church? Is there a structure that's more or less pure? We'll get into that a little bit more too in a few weeks. Spiritual power in ministry. You know, that's one of those things that I tend to be a stiff German, intellectual type of thing where sometimes we neglect the Holy Spirit. Sometimes too often we neglect the power of God, the Holy Spirit. You know, with we're not this local church body preferences. We're not charismatics in that we're the caricature swinging from the chandeliers. But man, sometimes there's some joy there that we Germans like me might miss. Oh, brethren and sistren, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Yes. Now, a little joy in the Spirit, tempered by Scripture, because obviously there's can be abuses on either side, but spiritual power in ministry. Here's one that's convicting to me, personal holiness of life among members. We all fall short there, don't we? But members, living our lives for God's glory. Holiness, that doesn't mean we're perfect. I don't believe biblically that'll happen, this side of heaven. But we ought to be growing and maturing, as Jesus says, but being washed and cleansed so that when we get to the marriage supper of the Lamb, we have been refined and are appropriately wearing our white wedding gown. Ooh, that's a bad picture with some of you. White wedding gown. Yeah. Here's, and I think we do a pretty good job here, but personal, but care for the poor. You know, so budget, I appreciate it. God has gifted us with a nice budget and giving to ministries and local ministries like the food bank, but caring for the poor, physical needs, being the hands and the feet of Jesus. You know, that's one of those areas where as Christians we can be. And so we can always do better there. And I appreciate the generosity of this church family. And then here's one too, a love for Christ. Do you love Jesus? Oh, yes, Jesus, I love you. Okay, Eeyore. He is, well, last couple messages, he is preeminent. It's the body of Christ. We are the bridegroom of Christ, the pictures. He is the head of the church. We ought to love our head and be doing everything for him. In fact, next week, I'll get into some of the purpose for the church and how that's tied to. If we truly love Christ, and none of us do it perfectly, but everything we do is for his glory and the cause of Christ. Because if we're doing it for him, guess what? Everything else will take care of itself. Well, those are the big ones. Maybe you can think of some others. But folks, this is who we are. You know, one of might come up next week, but a pastor when I was still in the Navy down in Mississippi, remember the preacher preaching a message. There's, now I'm paraphrasing this a little bit, there's just two things that we can do on earth that we can't do better in heaven. One of them, sin. Well, we don't want to be sinning. But loving and trying to grow and mature is something we're not going to get it completely right here. We're going to have all eternity to work on some of this stuff. But in the meantime, sharing the good news, especially that witness, and growing in our sanctification. That's that big word, but the process of maturing and being conformed to the image of Christ. So the purity of the church. And then the unity of the church. Let me reread just the first six verses of Ephesians. Now, what's that look like? First three chapters, like I said, this is what God has done. Now, what does that look like? I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, says Paul, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, just listen to this. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. You think God's concerned about unity? And if it's Jesus' bride, unity in the body? Because even back in the good old days of the New Testament, in Romans chapter 16, Paul, a negative example as he's signing off the letter to Romans. Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses. contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. For those who do such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. Unity, division, is one of those areas where we have to be aware of it. And Paul warns about it several times, and that gets into church discipline, things like that. But that's not unity. Divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine, God's word. And then here's a positive example. That was depressing. Here's a positive one. Philippians chapter 2, verse 2. Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Unity. Folks, a big topic, we won't get into it, but forgiveness. Do we have people? We talked a little bit about this. Mike brought up a great question in the adult Bible study, but forgiveness in our lives, in your life, are there people that you have a tough time forgiving? Why? Who are you not to forgive? That's part of the Lord's Prayer too. Forgive us our trespasses. Lord, forgive me. But I'm not going to forgive that person, because do you know what he did to me? Do you people know what he did to me? That's part of the unity as well. Understanding what forgiveness is and what we have been forgiven, which brings us all together in the first place, unity. So, and then that goes for, you know, and we do pretty well on this. I don't hear too many complaints about, did you know what Howard? I mean, Howard's an easy target. It's easy to go after Howard. But we get along pretty well. And I think we do a pretty good job within Lake George, the church families. These are our brothers and sisters next door. And one of the reasons I miss Randy McKinley, he and I were such good personal friends. And as church families, yet we're not competing. There's no competition for the kingdom of God. We are local church families that might have some different preferences, but we ought to have unity with each other. You've probably heard of churches that are in competition with each other and signs, you know, don't go to that church down there or something like that. And the world watches this. You know, just at a secular, why would I want to go to the church where they're just going to argue with each other and use bigger theological words? So, no competition, unity in the body of Christ, folks, within the church family. Don't mess with the bride of Christ, and that's, don't let me mess with the bride of Christ, but that's part of my job, is divisions. If I come alongside and grab your ear, Ken, if I had to grab your ear and pull you over here and say, now, Ken, stop it. I didn't have to do that to Ken. But that's the division, getting along. And same thing, I don't ever want to hear that church over there, what they did. Early on, one of the things, when we had a service, when we had a Saturday night service, sometimes I would hear the Saturday night folks or the Sunday morning folks talking about that church over there, or that church over here, and I'm like, wait a minute, we're all Community Fellowship of Christians. What in the world? Now, I know what you're trying to say, but even the way we talk sometimes can betray maybe, yeah, those people. They don't do it the way they should if they were really godly like I am. Folks, careful with that. Pride, arrogance, of course. We'll talk about this next week. See, I was smart. Navy guys can learn something back there. We can spell West Pointer, but I realized this is going to be a little more than, I'm not going to get into it all today. So come back, we'll tie this in now. What are the purpose? All those areas to help purity, unity. Now what does that look like in what we should be about in our local service? So, let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for what you are doing with your bride worldwide. We are thankful that you are building your church. And despite whatever goes on, at the universal level and the local level, the visible, the invisible, that you are sovereign, preeminent in your church. And that, as Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. Help us be, as the church militant, to be on your team as Christian soldiers fighting for your glory in Lake George, in Park and Teller County, in Colorado, the United States, and around the globe. Thank you for those opportunities that we can be yours, serving our bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ. For it's in his name we pray, and all God's people said, Amen. Amen. All right.